Sigler Ministries, sharing the good news. Gary teaches practical lifestyles, with his main thrust being to reveal the Father heart of God toward humanity. May God richly bless you in your quest for a true spiritual life.
I can't tell you what a joy it is to be here. And I don't know if you really know what a rare thing you have here. But in the last 3 years, I've traveled extensively across the United States and Canada. People all over the world are crying out for a fellowship. There are so many people who are isolated and want so desperately to be able to come together and worship in an atmosphere where there is nothing but God's love, where there is freedom. Our theme song this weekend, if there is such a thing as freedom. We are free to be just exactly who we are. I have a saying that I picked up from a pastor friend of mine a couple years ago, and he says, just be who you be. Don't try to be something you're not. Just be who you are. But at the same time, enjoy God. If you feel weak, if you feel inadequate, if you don't reach your expectations, just know that God loves you anyway. And He is a Father that understands even more than you do why you react the way you do. I want to share a little bit this morning about our inheritance. And to understand our inheritance, again, we need to be made clear about the two men that you could say resides within us. There is the natural mindset, the natural man, and there is the spiritual man. And the Bible uses many illustrations to show us the difference between these two men, the flesh man and the spiritual man. And one of the best examples in the Word is the story of Ishmael and Isaac. And I know we all know the story, but God had promised Abraham a son. And God, I'm sure if you've been walking with God any length of time, God has promised you things, or God has put a goal in your heart, or there's something you feel that God is, you know, wanting to do with your life. And in the excitement and in the ambition of wanting to do something for God, we don't have the patience to wait and to just worship and stay in His presence until He develops His Spirit within us that will then do the work that we were called to do. Like Abraham, we get tired of waiting, and so we produce an Ishmael. And as hard as it may be for you to see this, God will reveal it to you, that what we have in this world out here today, calling itself Christianity, is nothing less than the work of an Ishmael. You remember what Abraham said? He said, "Oh God, that you would bless Ishmael." Abraham loved Ishmael. What did God say? He said, "I will bless Ishmael. I will. But my promise is to Isaac." You see, God will bless the work of your flesh. God will bless the work of your own hands. And we can see that by the blessings, that the abundant outpouring of finances and blessings that's on that system out there that keeps us in bondage and darkness. Even though it's a work of the flesh, God will bless it, because most people in that system really have a heart for God. They really do. And He loves them as much as He loves anyone else. There is no partiality in God. But the problem is they have not waited for God to develop their spiritual man within them so that He does the work of the ministry. You get a young man saved, brother, and the first thing he wants to do is go to Rhema Bible School and come out and pastor a church and produce an Ishmael. Think about it.
We've had 2,000 years since the resurrection. And we have a Christian system out here who all believe in the same God. They all read the same Bible, yet they can't even sit in the same room together. If that doesn't witness to you that what we have out there is carnally minded men trying to build the kingdom of God, you see, the fruit, you have to look at the fruit of what has happened to Christianity. So yes, God says, I will bless Ishmael, but my promise is to Isaac. And we need to realize that within us, each one of us, there is an Ishmael and there is an Isaac. And the Ishmael is that natural man, that carnal man, that human consciousness that no matter how good it is, no matter how much it wants to please God, the promise will never be to that man. And another misconception we've had of Calvary is that we have thought that redemption was for the natural man. No. Jesus taught that you must deny the self. He didn't come to redeem that old, unrenewed, unregenerate, carnal human thinking man. He did not. He came to produce a new creation man. You see, he died so that when you receive him, you are regenerated. In the very deepest recesses of your being, you have been recreated into the very likeness and image of who God is. But you see, the problem is, as soon as we are regenerated, most of us get caught up into that religious system, and we have then a mixture of Ishmael and Isaac within us, and most of us will take the natural then and try to make it spiritual. We're always trying to remake the natural man, trying to make him better, and it's absolutely impossible. The only hope you have of ever coming out of bondage and living as a son of God on the earth is to realize that you are a brand new creation and there is nothing of that new creation in your old consciousness. There is nothing of the new creation in the old creation. And there is nothing of the old creation in the new creation. You see, in the new man that has been regenerated, there is nothing in him of the old. The old is still in your natural thinking. It's still in your natural emotions. That's why we have to, by the grace of God, have a revelation of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Because it has nothing to do with remaking that old creation man. Yet by our Ishmael works of righteousness, by us trying to establish our own righteousness to feel acceptable before God, we never experience true grace. You see, the promises of God are to the spiritual man. And the spiritual man, Isaac, does absolutely nothing at all to inherit everything that Abraham has. He inherited it because he was the promised child. And God has made a covenant with his seed, which seed you are. He has made a covenant with the seed and has given everything that he is to the seed. And the seed is a corporate man that together, as the body of Christ, all of us exercising and living out from our new consciousness, that new realm of existence, we become on the earth the living, vibrating, pulsating body of Christ. And that has absolutely nothing to do with the old creation. And you know what? It's wonderful because it doesn't depend then upon your ability. Because in the spirit, in the new creation man, every one of us has the ability, has the nature, has the character of God. Now, Ishmael is why there is not much oneness in Christianity. Because they're all trying to be one, and sometimes they even, you know, some of the churches try to get together and be one, but there is no oneness without a revelation of Christ in you. Because the church is not a bunch of people who gather together with their good thinking and their humanistic views. The church is nothing less than Christ himself. And if you realize that the Christ in you, and the Christ in you, and the Christ in you, and the Christ in me can never be divided. The only division takes place in our carnal thinking and in our carnal understanding. We don't all agree with what the Scripture says. And therefore, if two men aren't agreed, how can they walk together? Well, that's what's been developed out there. How can I walk with you, brother, if I don't agree with what you say the Scripture says? But see, that's not our oneness. Our oneness is only in Christ. And in Christ, if we only have the unveiling of God, we will see that all of us, if you have been regenerated, you have the same God in you that I have. You have the same life. You have the same nature. That love will be developed in you. Oh, I can see it here in this group, brother. Oh, have we seen the love of God being developed in a group of people. And I'm sure that not every one of you agree scripturally on interpretation of doctrine. And that really doesn't matter, because none of us will agree with one another totally until all of us learn to live out from our spirit and Christ in us begins to mature and he is not divided. He sees eye to eye. And that's why in the natural, our understanding changes from year to year. There are things years ago that... things that I say today, years ago, I would have said I was a heretic. So I understand why people react to me the way they do, because I would have too. But as Christ in us begins to mature, we literally begin to take on the mind of Christ. And once that happens, then there is no separation and no division between you and any other believer. I have no problem being one with a Catholic or a Baptist or a Pentecostal. I can fellowship, and it doesn't matter. Because the Christ in me will reach out and love anyone in any place and under any condition. See, that's the only thing the church as a whole has been short of, is the love of God. We've had ambition. We've had excitement. We'll run to and fro. We'll teach Sunday school. We'll do everything except love one another. Unless you believe like I do. And love is the only thing that will bring the body of Christ together. If you cannot love the Baptist down the street, if you cannot love the Catholic, can I even go further? If you cannot love and appreciate the man who is bowing before an idol, you don't understand the love of God. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you should go bow down to his idol. But as I was sharing earlier this weekend, we must see past the flesh, past the physical. We must understand that even a man who is bowing before an idol, does not that man, is he not crying out for God? Is he not lost in his religion just as much as 90% of the Christians are lost in their denominational thinking? So God begins to develop Isaac within you. And everything comes to you as a gift. And you begin to rest. And you have such a peace. And no longer, I mean, God just, once you have this shift in your awareness of being a new creation man, you really come into the rest of God. Then it doesn't matter. You can know that God wants you to do something, but you know that if you run out and do it, you'll create another Ishmael. But if you just flow with what God is doing, it will just come together. You all have to you've had to experience that here, or you could never have the cohesiveness that I feel in this place as a body. You guys have learned, at least you have learned, how to love one another, how to put up with one another. And I'll tell you, in there's so many people today who have been so wounded by church. They've been so hurt by church that they don't want to come together anymore. And they keep themselves isolated. And they enjoy the Lord. But I'll tell you, God is after a corporate expression. You in your individuality will never express what God wants the world to see. And you know what? We really don't, most of us don't even recognize God when we see Him. Do you remember what Jesus said to His disciples that had been with Him how long? He said, "Have I been with you all this time? You don't even know who I am. You want me to show you the Father? And I've been with you all this time? Everything I speak, everything I do, flows out from the life of the Father. I of mine own self, it's impossible for this human man, Jesus, I of my own self, I cannot do anything." So do you think the people today are going to be any different? Do you think that they're going to recognize you as a son of God and bow down at your feet? Even the religious people that are looking for the manifestation of the sons of God, they have some of them a wacky concept of what these people are going to look like. We're only going to do the will of the Father. We have been sent here, each of us, on a special mission. Well, you do have a call on your life, every one of us. And even before you were born, you were given everything that you need to fulfill this mission. And because of the day and the hour in which we live, we are just beginning to wake up and realize that we are spiritual beings. Let me read a verse to you here. Where's my Bible? Look at 2 Timothy. I sure appreciate you guys allowing me to come here and share my Father's heart. It's the greatest blessing in the world to be able to do that. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, speaking of Jesus here, it says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works." Oh, that's so important. How many times, even in the Bible, when God would call someone, they'd say, "Lord, I can't do it." Well, you know, that's a good reaction, but we must know that what He has called us to do, He equips us to do. "Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." We need to take a long look at some of these verses. What could that possibly mean, folks? Does it mean what it says? Could it be, even before we became physical, everything that we possibly need for our journey was given to us in Christ, even before the foundation of the world? Well, if you can believe that, you'll start seeking God for an unveiling and a remembering of what we have obtained. And Paul shares with the Ephesians the equipping of the saints. Ephesians chapter 1. I think that sometimes it is one of the hardest things is to convince Christians that they already have what they're trying to obtain. God specifically spoke to me one day and He said, "Gary, you are trying so hard to obtain what you already have." In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about so many things that we have obtained in Christ. Now you remember, this is to the spiritual man. This has nothing to do with Gary Sigler in the natural. Gary Sigler in the natural, his thinking, his understanding, his interpretation of Scripture, nothing is for that man. Gary Sigler has to be replaced by the spiritual man. And the spiritual man already has everything that he needs to fulfill Gary's journey in this human body. So, if nothing else, seek God for an understanding of your spiritual man. We all know that, you know, doctrinally we've been born again and Jesus lives in us. But let us seek God honestly for a revelation and an experiential walk in that, what we know to be true. So Paul says in Ephesians 1:3 that God, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He doesn't say he will, it says he already has. God has already blessed you, not with some things, but with all spiritual blessings. But here is the problem, folks, they're in heavenly places. We keep looking for God's blessings on this earthly plane. We keep wanting God to bless this carnal man. And he will do that. As we shared earlier, he will bless Ishmael. He will bless the work of your flesh. But the promise is to the spiritual man. And you have already received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Where are those heavenly places? Heavenly places is the realm or the sphere in which the kingdom of God operates. You have to come up higher in your thinking. Remember what we shared? Come up higher. Come up into a high mountain. Come up into... Our thinking must have a shift. We must turn away from the natural thinking and our carnality and realize that in heavenly places we have already been blessed with all things. That's a spiritual reality, and it's not for the human consciousness. According in verse 4, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, what did we just read in 1 Timothy? Not only were we given all things in Christ before the foundation of the world, but we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Now, listen, if you believe that, how could you be a failure? And I know your natural reasoning and your thinking process will try to rob you of that truth. And that's why we need to begin to stand as the people of God and stand against the reasonings of our mind and determine everything within us that we're going to believe what the Scriptures tell us. We're going to believe what God says about us. And he said that I was chosen in him before the foundation of the world that I should be holy and without blame. Now that's the spiritual man. And this is why, if you haven't had much experience in this from this weekend forth, you will. God will begin to reveal you to you more than ever before. When you react, this he'll say, that's Ishmael. You see, because if you're trying to work for it, if you get in the workings of the flesh, he'll say, that's the carnal man. I begin to thank God for these realities long before I ever experienced them. When I first saw this, as I was meditating in this scripture one day about being chosen before God, I thought, well, that's predestination. I don't like that doctrine. And I'd heard so many things about, you know, how we are, because I have studied all of the doctrines of the church. But we have to get out of our human thinking, folks. If God says he has chosen you in him before the foundation of the world, you have been chosen. Believe it. And begin to thank him for it. out of a grateful heart, we need to get alone with God and meditate on some of these scriptures and cry out to God to reveal the truth of it to you. God, have you really chosen me before the foundation of the world? God loves you to question him and to seek him for the truth of his word. Has he chosen just a few, like some of the predestination doctrine teaches? Is God a respecter of persons? If he is, then we're all in trouble. This Bible was not written to an elect few. This Bible was written to the believer. And if you have been regenerated and you know that you're a child of God, it's only because he has chosen you in him before the foundation of the world. So what are you concerned about? Can you believe that he will finish what he has started? Of course, your Adamic carnal thinking will come in because you've been such a failure, maybe in so many areas for years. And that kind of thinking will keep you in your bondage. You must stand upon your feet, arise from the dust of the earth, shake yourself and wake up to the reality of being a son of God, knowing that you've been chosen in God before the foundation of the world. There's people all over the world today who are beginning to have a revelation of who they are in Christ. And of course, there's another group, or there might be another move of people who are trying to attain this by self-effort. You can get into many movements and groups today who will try to teach you all kinds of methods and right eating and all kinds of things to try to remake yourself into God. You are not God. Somebody asked me last night, Gary, do you believe you're God? And I explained it this way. We are human because we have a human life. And I inherited from my natural father certain traits, certain things. Therefore, I am a human. Well, God is the father of my spirit. I am God's idea. He brought me into existence. And everything that my father has is mine. Therefore, I am God in the sense that I have the God kind of life. But I am not my father. And I never will be my father. My father and I are one. It's like, I believe it was Pastor Dave last night at dinner, he said, you can take a drop of water out of the ocean, and it's still the water. It still has the same substance, but it's not the ocean. You see, folks, we are not the ocean. We are but a drop in the bucket. But if you don't realize that you are just as much the substance of God as he is, or as Jesus Christ was, you will never be able to rise above the dust of your human thinking. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You have to believe this, folks. If you will begin to believe this, your troubles are over. Your trials aren't. Before you were ever born, you were predestinated by God. And that word predestinated, another word that means the same thing, is pre-programmed. Now, we understand computers. That we program a computer, and it will do exactly what you program it to do. That's predestination. So God has put his seed in you, and when you are regenerated, immediately that seed in you begins to go into its programming, its predestination. And that seed in you is pre-programmed, predestinated to reproduce in you the life and nature of God. And it can't fail. It's a guarantee. It's an absolute. And just like a seed in the natural, you see, your human consciousness and your human personality is like a shell around that seed that is enclosed. Your Your new creation man, the seed of God on the inside of you, is closed by this hard shell of carnal thinking and human understanding. And the hardest shell is the religiosity. That's why some people, religious people, are called hard shell. But you see, when you begin to see the truths of God's word, and you're willing to, and I can't understand why people aren't, I know because of the human thinking, but we must be willing, folks, and make the choice to believe that what God says about us is true. It doesn't depend upon how we feel. If you're always going to go by how you feel, it will never happen for you. You must decide that God is accurate in His estimation of you. You must decide that God has predetermined and predestinated you to reproduce His life in humanity. That's the only reason you're here. The only reason you're in physical form is to display to the world the expression, the loveliness of your God. And that seed in you has been predestinated, predetermined to reproduce God. And how long that takes is up to your choices. It is pre-programmed. And it is predestinated. But your choices that you make will determine how long it will take for that seed to grow to maturity in you. So you can choose to stay in your human thinking and your human understanding and your feelings of, I have a right to react this way. I have a right to resent someone who has done me wrong. I have a right to have unforgiveness because this person has treated me miserably for years. You can stay in that consciousness and you'll never know what I'm speaking of. Or you can decide to turn away from that and stay in the presence of God and begin to think and to speak according to what God says is true about you. It's your choice. Hell can be a long time. The fire of God can take years and years and years of trial and hurtful situations until you realize one day you will make the choice to let God be God in your life. It's much better to make that choice now. And believe me, I know how difficult it is. I used to stand and say, God, I'm so thankful that you have revealed to me that I have been chosen in you before the foundation of the world. I don't experience that. I'm a failure in the natural in so many ways, I used to say to God. But I'm so thankful to know that it's not up to Gary Sigler to perfect himself. I have the most beautiful, the most magnificent person on the inside of me. And the more I learn to culture, to nurture, and to feed that seed on the inside of me, the more I'm able to make the right choices to believe God instead of my experience. You will soon find yourself arising in the glorious victory of Christ in you. Well, not only have we been blessed, we've been chosen and predestinated, but in verse 6, we're accepted to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. How many people do you know suffer from rejection? You got to believe this, folks. You got to believe it. I don't care if your parents have rejected you. You know, people go through horrible rejection in these days. They're hurt. They're rejected by their religious leaders. They're hurt by their churches. They hurt one another. But you must realize that no matter how much you have suffered under the hand of man, you have been made accepted in the Beloved. You see, even before the foundation of the world, God has accepted you. And you are on a human journey. And you are already accepted in the Beloved. And you know, the people that suffer under rejection, I have some in my own family, they never come out of that until they understand that they're accepted in the Beloved. And once you experientially become accepted in God, Rejection loses its hold on you. And you know what happens then? You become a lover of people. And then you find wherever you go, people just love you. They don't reject you any longer. Because your security is not in what people think about you. Your security is in knowing that no matter how bad I am, no matter how many years I've struggled and I've tried my best to live a good Christian life, I'm a failure. It doesn't matter because I've been accepted in the Beloved. In verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Oh, what are the riches of His grace? What did I say yesterday? How many times, folks, can you sin and God won't forgive you? There is absolutely no limits on forgiveness. All you need to do is recognize that God, through Christ, has paid the price for your disobedience. And of course it doesn't give... I mean, if you miss God and it doesn't bother you, then I feel sorry for you. But you cannot let it get you under the condemnation. You must realize that no matter how many times I fail every day in the same area, I need to appreciate forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is there because you need it. And you need to take advantage of it. And know that no matter how many times a day I would fall in the same area, the richest forgiveness is according to the riches of His grace. It's because, you see, like it's been shared in years past, that the blood of Jesus Christ, it covers you. God says, when I look at the blood, I will pass over you. And so we need to always know that no matter when and how often we miss God, that's why the blood was shed. So that we can, in the midst of our, whatever it is that we're in the midst of, we can turn to God knowing that His grace is sufficient. And He is not holding us accountable for the residue of that old man that is still operating in our lives. And with that kind of a consciousness and an attitude, you will find that that old residue will be washed out of you. Having made, in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. My, think of it. Those who know their God know the mystery of His will. And I dare say that very few Christians, even today, understand the full mystery of His will. And it's written right here. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both, listen, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. That is the mystery of His will. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that He is gathering together in one all in Christ. Whether they be Baptist, Catholic, Pentecostal, Lutheran. When you begin to have the revelation of the new man as I see him, you will come into an understanding of this verse. That God is bringing all things. All things come out from God, and all things are returning to God, as the scriptures teach us. So we begin to understand the mystery of His will, that everyone eventually, listen, everyone will come to an unveiling and an understanding of the Father heart of God. And they will bow the knee to Him and begin to experience His loveliness. Well, in verse 13, we were sealed, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you heard or believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. You see, our regeneration experience and the baptism in the Holy Spirit is only a small, if you want to call it earnest or down payment, or but it's just the beginning to walk in the inheritance of Isaac. Well, this is why Paul prayed in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, oh, may He give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the full knowledge of Him, that your eyes would be opened, your eyes being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What is God's inheritance? God's inheritance is Isaac. God's inheritance is the new creation man which you are. That's why He ministers to you. And He cultivates that seed within you because you are His inheritance. Oh, if people only knew the love that God has for His creation. Not condemning. Oh, but His heart is always there reaching out as a father, saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Oh, so many people are so burdened down with the religious things that they've been taught. They are so rejected and so downcast because of not being able to perform the Christian religion. Come unto me and find rest. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's why I say every one of us, this is not a teaching I'm giving you folks. It is not a teaching. Each one of us must have the eyes of our understanding enlightened. Because even you, if you get this message intellectually, you won't be able to walk it out. You have to have an unveiling. You have to have that understanding that Christ really is in you and begin to make the right choices to walk in that man. And again, it's don't judge yourself by your gains and losses. We have to, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, you need to, if you're not walking in the reality of Christ in you, you need to realize that we're like a baby. And when a baby is first born, you don't throw him out of the crib and tell him to walk. See, this is what Christianity has done to the babies in Christ. They tell them, well, now that you're saved, you have to go out and witness. Now that you're saved, you have to go to Bible school. Now that you're saved, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do something else. The first church I tried to join after I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit was a Pentecostal church. And I told the pastor I wanted to join, so he gave me a card. And on the card it says, you know, as a member in good standing, I won't smoke, I won't drink, I won't dance, I won't go to movies. You see? And that some of them are still doing this. Oh, and of course I need to tithe. They might let you get away with some of the other stuff, but you better tithe. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Oh, I just pray that God puts a hunger in your heart, that you will seek Him until the reality of His life comes alive in you and swallows up your darkness and your human understanding and your theological discourses. You know, if Jesus comes alive in us, I don't want you to misunderstand me, but if He really lives in us, we don't need Bible schools. We don't need all these how-to books on how to love your children. How can you go to school and learn how to put off Adam and put on Christ? And again, there's nothing wrong with learning the Bible, and that's not my point. My point is, when Jesus comes alive in you by the power of His Spirit, you will have all things. You will have all understanding. You will have all knowledge. And as you need, whatever your need is, it will come to you. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? I tell you, folks, we need to be honest. This tells me that if I believe God, I have the power of God. If I don't have the power of God, if I'm not able to live the life, I need to seek God. Because those who believe, you see, what is it? 1 John 1:12 says, as many as received Him, gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. It's so important for you to believe. It's so important for you to make the choice to believe what God says. And I don't care how many times again your experience tells you different. You must look it square in the eye and say, that's a lie. That is not who I am. I am a new creation man. I am formed and fashioned by God. I have been predestinated from before the foundation of the world to reveal the beauty and the loveliness of God to His creation. What are your feelings going to do then? But you see, the thoughts and emotions, they're like the fowls of the air that come and pick out that they just rob you of the Word of God. Your thoughts literally rob you, and they keep you earthbound because you believe them. Let's believe God and see what happens. Here's a good one in verse 22. God hath put all things under His, Jesus' feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. All things. You see, when we become blended together, when we become one in spirit as a corporate body, all things are given to the church. All things. You will have no needs at all. And you talk about ministering to your community, watch what happens. In chapter 2, you have been quickened. You have been made alive. Those of you who were dead in trespasses and sins, you have been made alive. But again, see, this is not for the natural man. You have been regenerated in spirit. You have been made alive in spirit. We must keep these two consciousnesses separated and realize the Adamic nature and the Christ nature. You've been made alive not in Adam, but in Christ. And if you you will find Christ within you. If you search for Him, if you hunger for Him, you will find Him. And He will fill you and come so alive in you, more than you ever thought possible. The anger, you know, I think I shared a little bit. I used to have a violent temper. I came from a family of violent tempers. And my dad was the kind of person, I'll never forget, one day my mother had bought a new rocking chair for the living room, and she bought it for him. And it was only about a week old, and he sat down in it, and the spring broke. And he swore at that chair, and rather than take it back to the store, he took it out in the backyard and set it on fire and burned it up. My brother had a violent temper. I used to kick doors down. So you know what? When I'm sharing with you, I know I've experienced what I'm sharing with you. This is not a theory with me. It's not a good teaching. It's a lifelong experience of learning how to believe God rather than my feelings. And my wife could tell you, if she was here today, that she was married to me for probably over 2 years before she ever saw me get angry once. This is your inheritance. It's a brand new creation. It's a brand new way of living. It's a way of resting in God, knowing that whatever fault you have is nothing compared to the dynamite that resides within you. He has made us alive even when we were dead in sins. Oh my. Well, not only have we been made alive, but in verse 5 and 6, he says, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. For by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. That's why we have to come up, rise above the carnal human understanding. You cannot any longer allow you to think of yourself as a mere human being. You are a son and daughter of God. You have everything that you could possibly need to put you over and make you a winner. If you are willing to make the choice to believe that God means what He says, I'll tell you, you will begin to experience very quickly victories in your life. If there are problems and hang-ups in your life that you've had for many years and you haven't overcome, if you will choose to believe God rather than those experiences, they will soon fall at your feet. And then you will be able to help those who are still in bondage. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. The whole world teaches this. Christianity teaches this. You are saved by grace, not of works. Nothing to do with yourself. Yet all the time, brother, they will put burdens on you to do things and to be a certain way. You see, they take the human life and try to make it reconform itself to God by human effort. It's what I call a performance-based Christianity, and it keeps you in bondage. Those of you who would be justified by the works of the law, Paul says, have fallen from grace. You cannot mix law and grace. And that's why the Christian system is such a failure, because they have never come all the way out of Judaism. It's a mixture of law and grace. And we must begin to see the grace of God and realize all things come to us as a gift by the grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And see, when this happens to you, there is no way that you will be able to boast, because you realize that only God could perform the miracles in your life and character that He has done. There is no pride involved in the spiritual man, because you will continually fall on your face and weep before God for what He's done in your life. It's all here. You know, a few years ago, the Word and Faith movement produced a book called God's Promises. And in that book was all the list of the promises throughout the Word. And I'll never forget, that book was a great help to me, because I took that and I meditated in those verses day and night for a while. And I began to weep and thank God that even though I wasn't yet experiencing this, something in my heart resonated. Doesn't something in your heart resonate to these words this morning? I mean, it's like Michael said earlier, my sheep know my voice. Your head may not. Your carnal thinking may be having a little problem with this, but listen, the Spirit in you knows the voice of the Father and will lead you out of your bondage and set you free to be a son or daughter of God on the earth. By grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship. See, you are not your own. Parable of the potter and the clay. He says, does not the potter have the power, if you get marred, to break the clay and rebuild it? Boy, I've experienced that a few times. See, what I'm telling you, I don't want to give you the impression that this is a rose garden experience, because your soul life is going to suffer and it's going to be replaced. And your wrong decisions and your wrong choices are going to cause you a lot of hurt. That's why you have to understand the Father's heart and know that He's breaking you and rebuilding you for His glory and for your best good. We are His masterpiece. Think of it. He has a group of people on the earth today that He's building His character and image in. And we are literally His masterpiece. And one day, very soon, Christ in all of us is going to stand up in the fullness of His manifestation. And we are going to set all creation free from the bondage of corruption. That's a wonderful, heavenly calling. And we are all called to that purpose. But we can only fulfill that purpose if we have the revelation that this Word gives to us. Choose to believe God rather than your experience. If you could just begin in the book of Ephesians, I've often said if I only had one book in the whole Bible, I would choose the book of Ephesians, because it reveals the whole plan of God from before the foundation of the world to the completion of the new man. This book of Ephesians, I've spent more time in here than probably any book in the Bible, and there is so much spiritual revelation of the new man in the book of Ephesians, and what God has planned for His church. Until we all arrive at the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a full-grown and perfect man, one day that man, that corporate man, is going to stand upon the earth. Oh, I long for that day.
And I see the fruits of it beginning to take shape in this place. There is such a love among you people here. And I know some of you have paid a great price to have that bond that you've formed here. And oh my, what a blessing this is going to be to this area. Well, he goes on here in the second chapter of Ephesians. I'm going to close in a minute, but he goes on here to say, you know, at one time you were without Christ. You know, and in reality, well, not in reality, but seemingly, most of the Christians in the Christian system seem to be without Christ. Now, I know they're not, but they seem to be. But he said to the Ephesians, he said, you know, one time you were without Christ, without hope in the world. See, at one time you were just Gentiles. You had no hope. And a Gentile in the Jewish mind was, of course, the unclean and the unsaved. So Paul said, at one time, you were like the Gentiles, without God and without hope in the world. But he said, listen to this, folks. He said, because of the cross, because of what Jesus did, God has taken both the Gentile, the unbeliever, the unsaved. He's taken both Jew and Gentile, both the saved and the lost, and he has put them together in one body on the earth. So you need to think about that and enlarge your vision of what the body of Christ is. It's not just your little group. But he says, even when you were without Christ, the Jew and the Gentile, because of Calvary, the whole world is brought in to the body of Christ. So enjoy your inheritance. He goes on to say, we are now fellow citizens, or a better word would be family. Because of Calvary now, we are all of one family. We're not all at the same stage of maturity, of spiritual growth. We don't all have the same understanding. We don't all read the scriptures the same way. But thank God we have been born into the family of God. That's why I feel sorry for so many people that are isolated across America. We need to come together and worship God and be built up together in the faith to display the wonderful works of God. I'm so thankful that there are at least a few places like this on the earth. I wish everybody that I knew, I wish I could send them here for a weekend. I'll be back. But I'll tell you, I won't be back here to teach you. I'll be here to worship with you. I want to come back here and just enjoy this place. So I'm going to close for now, but I just beg you folks, you have it in you. You have the right stuff. You just need to believe it. You need to believe that what God says about you is true. You don't have to feel like it, but you need to believe it. And if you'll believe it, and if you'll cultivate a thankful heart to God, you will experience it. It will be yours by experience. So, it's kind of like leaving family. It's the most wonderful thing about traveling is you meet the family everywhere, but then when it's time to leave, it's really hard. So, I just appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. You know, there's probably not a dozen churches in the country I could go in and share like I did here today. Most of my meetings are done in homes. There's hundreds and hundreds of little groups all across America that believe God and the things that I'm teaching you, but there are very few collective churches, bodies like this. So I really appreciate it, and thank you very much.
This concludes this message. For additional copies or more information, write Gary and Carol Sigler, 135 Chinquapin Drive, Brunswick, Georgia, 31523. Phone 912-275-8585 or email gary@sigler.org. All messages are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, however, you may distribute them freely.